WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikael Mears' financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon, this is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It's the third Monday of October. I know, right?
Good Lord.
Oh, and it's also the M word. Oh, no. That started today.
The M word?
Yes.
What's the M word?
Really? Well, we don't like to talk about it on the show because it's the one that makes everything go kind of a little crazy.
Oh,
so it's the Mercury retrograde period.
Oh, okay. I pay little or no attention to retrogrades. You know?
Well.
I just pay more attention to petroleum prices more than retrogrades.
So that means we have David Watson with us. And at some point, probably the Willows.
Possibly.
I'm assuming with this conversation that we're going to have today, we'll probably bring them in. But, you know, you never know. But we're certainly here for questions. We're going to talk about reincarnation.
That's right.
I think is a great topic. So if you have questions, we probably will bring... She's a job-related question. Well, we'll probably bring callers on. We'll talk first before we bring...
Whatever your little heart's desire.
Exactly. So right. You can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You can get in queue. And then when we're ready to bring the Willows on, we'll do that. So why don't we begin first with just the two of us?
Okay. Well, you know, like you asked me, you know, what topic I would like to discuss this week, and I thought... I just finished doing a weekend up in the northern part of Ontario, it was a weekend involved with teaching reincarnation,
okay.
Doing a reincarnation workshop, and it was pretty interesting. I've done many of them in my lifetime, and actually probably worked with thousands of people over the years doing reincarnational workshops, and also. Sometimes doing one-on-one therapy, sometimes it behooves somebody to do a little bit of past life regression,
right.
Just to help them with their emotional body and to help them understand some of the challenges that they have in a particular time in their life, right now, for example.
Right.
You know, the workshop itself kind of was geared more around connecting with a past life that was most. I guess relevant to the life that we would be living today, which is good because you sort of get hints and little bits of insight about life and how your life is unfolding right now. So it was very interesting. Had everything from a gentleman who imagined or saw that he was from a large planet that was just water. And he was like this kind of, he said, the only way I could describe it was kind of like a merman, you know, and that really confirmed dreams that he'd had over the years, you know. So you kind of, some people say, well, isn't it all in your imagination when you're starting to have these reincarnational recollections and you do a past life workshop? And I always say, you know, like, I'm afraid to say, well, I'm not afraid to say because I'm saying it. 99% of what we experience in life is between our ears. It's how we perceive things and receive things and understand things. And it's all part of our greater, if you want to call it, imagination.
Right.
Because all our memories are is just we have to imagine what happened yesterday and then bring it back into the present.
Yeah, I think with me, the question becomes not so much, I mean, I absolutely know that we don't just have one life, so there's that aspect. But mm-hmm. The thing that I always question or discern is, you know, are we connecting in, because we're all one, are we connecting in with maybe our soul group's past lives or aspect that's in the social, the global consciousness? Because there's so many people that have claimed that they're Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary. And, you know, like there's so many people that always think that they're these, you know, people that we all mm-hmm. heard of instead mm-hmm. of just being, you know, well, Joe Blow in this life. And
you know, there's it's very interesting you bring that up because, you know, people say, well, reincarnation. And that brings up the idea and doing a workshop of this nature. One of the things we discuss is how people would come forward in time from past times to the now.
Right.
Would they be a singular soul that kind of pops out of a body, floats around in some timeless time and placeless place, and then, boom, pops into another body, into another time? And that kind of, like, disassociates and disallows the opportunity for any experiences we've had in any given life. So more I like to think about it this way. We come into the physical plane. We enter into a body. And we're kind of, the body acts kind of like a prism. We come from a place I call divine love, which I think that's what's above all of us in that sense, and part of divine consciousness, which is different than day-to-day love. You know, it's a grander thing if you want to qualify it, which we like to do, it seems. But anyway, when we come in from higher love, we come into a physical body, and anyone who's ever picked up a baby, somehow they're just like so heavy, even though they're little and light. They're just solid. And that's that divine love we feel within them. And during our lifetime, we're beset with a variety of different challenges, which then begin to fractionalize that love, so we have to begin to have other emotional experiences. So literally, as divine love is like light coming into a prism, divine love is like this divine love coming into a consciousness, into a body, and then dividing into, instead of a prism, you know, where we see all the colors of the rainbow, it divides into a prism of our emotional body, everything from love to fear.
Right.
You know, so that then gives us the ground for creating a life. You know, and I do believe that, and so do people who have done this process, that our lives are not predetermined. There's no such thing as divine destiny or anything else of that nature. Nothing is supposed to happen
right.
in that sense, okay, in a specific way. Although people discover they do come onto the planet with certain contracts,
sure,
but they don't necessarily get fulfilled all the time because other stuff happens along the way. You know, because, you know, you can say, well, we could plan ahead into a lifetime, but the old story is, the old story goes, you know, the map is not always the territory. You know, the map is just the map, and then the territory is what happens when you get there. And the different things that are going on around us. Anyway, getting back to the larger picture of the reincarnation and the divine soul, I believe it comes into a body. We are created as an individual with a certain degree of consciousness, and that divine energy and us grow together. Then there's two of us. When we cross, we then become an aspect of that divine soul as ourselves, come into another body, combine with that, and that body then combines with the energy of us, the divine soul that initially came in through us, and the new body and soul that was being manufactured or being created in that lifetime. Therefore, you know, exponentially speaking, it's like, looking at a chessboard and putting a grain of salt on one square and then doubling it for every one. They say you'd have like tons of salt at the end because of the way that everything is doubled in that way. So I believe that may have more to it. Another way it's been described by another channeler is that imagine that life is like a giant punch bowl. And each time you scoop in with your cup, okay, you take it out, and then you dump it back into the source again, and it mixes up, and then the next time you dip it out, a little bit of that comes, and a little right. bit of everything else comes around you. So each time you kind of get a different flavor, like bits and bites, you know, when you reach in, a different combination every time. But it's that kind of thing that certain people think about or believe about, but you know, we don't have any books written about it that are absolute. We've got right. lots of theories and lots yeah. of ideas, yeah. but there's nothing that's empirical knowledge around this process.
Right. Well, I had one teaching that believed that we only actually have one physical life and that everything else is us being guides and the guides that are around us and all that. I don't believe that, but I mean, that's
what a
one
rip
interpretation.
Off.
Well, it's one interpretation, or at least, you know, but then the person also said that they lied 90% of the time and we were supposed to discern what was true and not.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other part of, you know, everything that was said could have been all a lie. So yeah, it was a little bit challenging to know, you know, but I don't, obviously we are here. Even my nuclear physicists will say that the only thing is that's absolute is that we will continue coming back because we're learning, you know, the rules of the game.
And
wouldn't it be awful if we had a game that we were playing on, you know, one of the virtual reality type games that we were playing that you only got one time to play it?
Well, you know, reincarnation is carried to so many different civilizations. You know, when we look at the brilliance that comes to us from the East, particularly from India, and that which comes to us from the Hindu beliefs, and then of course the which came from Hinduism was Buddhism. They believe greatly in reincarnation.
Certainly, the Buddhists did, and so did the Hindu. But you might come back as a cow.
Well, that's we would define that as transmigration of souls. I like to think that we're in progress.
I agree.
It's kind of like, you know, playing for a baseball team and then getting sent down to the minors after.
Well, they do believe that cows are pretty divine.
Well,
apparently.
I won't get into that. I just won't get into that at all.
Neither will I, and okay, I'm not good. Making fun of your religion at all.
So, you know, the fact is, when it comes to our soul, our energy, everything is energy. Yeah. Everything is part of a larger energetic pattern, and everything affects everything around us. The sun affects the earth. You know, it affects the way we think. The moon affects the way we think. You know. When I was growing up and going through college, I worked as a bouncer in a in a bar. And let me tell you, on those nights when we had a full moon, we always seemed to have we always say the crazies used to come out. But I think that these energies that come from these sources do have a definitive effect on our emotional bodies, and I think that ourselves, as far as our eternal energy is concerned, we are operating with an energy that can't be destroyed. It can only change form.
Right.
And it's not just the physical energy that we're operating with, because there seems to be a consciousness. I say seems to because that's what I perceive, that each one of us operates with. It's like a little operating system. And we interact in a lifetime with that. So to go from a life to a life to a life to a life makes sense as far as progression is concerned. It's impossible in one lifetime for anybody to have a full knowledge of what it's like to be human.
Right.
That's what I believe. Because there's so many aspects. You know, I have many people who go and take do a past life regression and find that they are a member of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. Or they come from a different culture. They're you know, if they're black, they might come back as Chinese or as white, and vice versa. You know, like there's so many different aspects which turns life into the great leveler in one sense, knowing that we're all divine souls inside, no matter what we look like outside, no matter what our beliefs are, no matter what of those things are. Those are just sort of like, I don't know, I call the icing on the cake. We come in, whatever beliefs are happening in the civilization we live in, we adopt, adapt, and work with those. But that still doesn't stop our inner spiritual growth and our inner, you know, our inner understanding of our purpose.
Right.
And that's been consistent throughout the ages. All philosophers and all writers and all poets and artists have always ascribed to trying to touch the divine within.
Right. All right, we're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. You can find out more about David on his website, askthewillows.com, A-S-K, The Willows, which is his soul group, which is who we'll probably bring on shortly.
Sure.
You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
You'll find paranormal mysteries, supernatural, and psychic phenomena are decoded by one of Britain's top psychic mediums, John G. Sutton. Go to psychicworld.net to book your consultation today. A gifted clairvoyant, John uses his incredible power to see or even hear what has been or what will be in your life. He can decipher your dreams, your voices from beyond, and identify the spirits or elemental beings in your life. Radio host and medium of Psychic World, John can consult you privately at psychicworld.net. Most importantly, John can predict your fate, for fortune, and love destiny. Book your consultation today at psychicworld.net. International best-selling author John G. Sutton's books include Psychic Pets and was featured on the Walt Disney Animal Planet show, Pittsburgh, USA. And he can communicate with your spirit animal, too. Consult with one of Britain's leading psychic mediums, John G. Sutton, by going to psychicworld.net. If you are seeking guidance, John will use his supernatural powers to tap into your past, present, and future to guide you on the right path. Go to psychicworld.net and book your consultation with Britain's leading psychic, John G. Sutton, at psychicworld.net.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson, although David has now gone into trance, and we have the Willows with us. Welcome.
Indeed, we welcome you too.
All right, so we're gonna start actually with our question from Amy. If anybody else has any questions they want to call in, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You can also send us an instant feedback, but you have to be really clear about what it is you're wanting. No general questions, please. All right, so let's bring Amy on.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Okay, so let us know what you're wanting to know about right now.
Okay, my question is, I have an interview on this Monday coming up on the 28th.
Okay.
And I wanted to see if you felt that I was going, if David felt that I was going to get this position.
And what's it on?
It's a budget analyst position.
Okay.
And budgeting analysis?
Yes. A budget analyst.
So this is your first interview?
Yes.
This moment, this position is one in which, first of all, to win an interview is a very big coup. The expertise that you hold within yourself will impress the people that you are going to work with. The thing you must do before you go there is to hold in mind here a positive outcome for yourself. The best way to do it is to use something that is referred to as a most benevolent outcome. And in using this, you would say to yourself, what is the most benevolent outcome of you going for this job? Of course, for you, it is to get the job and to be secure again. But for them, what is the most benevolent outcome for them? It is you working for them, providing them with an opportunity to continue to thrive, you see? And if you take this attitude when you go in with the job, that you are there to help them thrive and to be of great service and of help with them, they will indeed be understanding the nature of your intent. Because when you go in, you are a relatively transparent individual, yes? Just go in and be open with them. Tell them what you can do for them, and let them know that you are the one for the job. Quite almost simply in those words. In doing this, it will impress them and give them the opportunity to not only remember you, but to wish to have you as part of the team. Because they are looking for team players, and they are looking for individuals who have exactly the kind of skills you have. So, most benevolent outcome is everyone benefits. You see? And if you take this attitude when you go into the job and speak with them during the interview, your chances of getting this job after the interview are at about 90%. Because, of course, there are others coming in. But at 90%, that would put you in the lead. You see?
Okay.
Is this helpful for you?
Okay.
Okay, is it helpful for you? Do you understand what he was saying? Is that you're actually going in and showing them what you can do for them, not so much letting them ask you questions, but, you know, you sort of showing them that you're their best candidate for them, right?
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And have fun. We won't say good luck. You don't need it. Just have fun.
Okay, thank you.
Indeed.
All right. So with David, we've been talking about reincarnation, and I always think it's fascinating because I've had several readings with you, and you know, typically you've brought up past lives that have been impacting me at the time.
Indeed.
So how important is it for us to understand reincarnation in our past lives?
Well, it is important in the sense that each individual would then have a sense of what we would call continuation, or that of knowing that this is not your only shot at the ring, so to speak, you understand, on the merry-go-round of life. It is giving you a sense of continuity. When you understand that you have been before and you will be again, it does take a little bit of pressure off the individual to try and either be perfect or to try and get everything right this time. Because many belief systems hold an understanding that this is the one and only. This also creates this belief, one and only, in many people, a sense of despair and hopelessness. In other words, people are in a lifetime that in a situation that is not beneficial for them in one way or another, and they begin to feel depressed about being there because they feel they are stuck here, and this is the only chance they have, and there's just not worthwhile going on. So the truth of the matter is, by understanding the fact that you are an eternal soul, that you do move from consciousness to consciousness and life to life, is a very empowering understanding. Many people think to themselves, well, why don't I remember past lives? And in many cases, we would say, you do. You're just not aware that you're remembering them. Sometimes you go to a place that you've never been before, and you feel instantly comfortable. Sometimes you meet people who you've never met before in your life, and that you feel as close to them as you would have anybody in your family. These are indications of connections you have with other souls that came and other places that came before this lifetime. And in this way, you feel a familiarity and a sense of connection. So here again, giving one the understanding that these events are in fact real is a very important understanding and a presupposition that in life gives one a sense of confidence and a sense of balance that may not necessarily have been available before the thought or the belief that reincarnation is in fact a truth and a fact of a physical existence. It is also important to understand here, and we often hesitate to discuss this theory in any great degree, but shall broach it in this moment, to understand that while you are on the physical plane, this physical experience you are now currently having is only one of an infinite number of experiences, first of all, that you could have, and of an infinite number of experiences that you have had. Understanding here that the physical plane brings you a dimension and brings into factor the concept of time, the moving forward and, of things and the aging and diminishing of things and the transformation therein. This is part of the change that's obvious within physical existence. However, outside of physical existence, that is, within the realm of spirit, that is above all, that all is contained within, a best way to put it, you see. There, everything exists in the same moment. This is not a new concept, but it is a concept here that is important to embrace, not to understand, but to appreciate. Because you cannot understand it consciously on the physical plane, because everything is three-dimensional and exists within a time frame. But to understand the philosophy to say that everything exists within one moment, within a single moment, one would understand the nature of what many people talk about now as now. You see? The power of now, what is happening now. And now means all events happening in the singular moment of consciousness, which is what you hold. And each holds within that being a reflection of greater consciousness or that of the consciousness of divine energy or spirit in this way. And we're not talking about this in a religious way, but more in an understanding of simply a truth of conscious existence. So this, therefore, gives you an understanding that you live all your lives in one moment, just in the singular moment. So that, of course, they overlap. Of course, you will have indications going from one life experience to another. In any lifetime, an individual takes upon it themselves to study this and understand it. Any part, that is the part of your divine consciousness that is choosing to connect with your greater self. And in doing this, will, shall we say, release you from the endless a cycle of reincarnation and enter you into a state of consciousness that enables you to enter into higher dimensional aspects of existence in this way, outside of the earth plane. And not that this is a ticket out, you understand, but rather an understanding that you are studying this not to get out of it, but understanding it to simply appreciate it and integrate it into your consciousness. You see?
Perfect. We're going to go to our next break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson and the Willows here today. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
How's your MPG? Or should I ask, how clean is your air filter? This is ASC Certified Autotech Pam Oakes telling you that it's important to keep your engine air filter clean. A clean air filter ensures that your vehicle is breathing in unrestricted air. In layman's terms, more MPG, less money paid out at the gas pump. For those of you who haven't had your air filter inspected in a while, now's a great time to go down to your favorite ASC Blue Seal shop and have it checked out. And remember, just because you can see light through it doesn't mean it's okay. Sometimes taking a gentle amount of compressed air to clean out that filter is all it takes to get you back on the road and your engine breathing easier. I'm Pam Oakes, and this has been your Automotive Minute for today. Let me teach you how not to fix your vehicle in the driveway, but how to have your car or truck properly repaired by an ASC-certified technician. CarCareForTheClueless.com, making you a savvy car consumer.
A man decides after 17 years that what he goes there for is to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and sleep. Fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we trip. No one ever gonna survive unless we are a little.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. And again, he's back in trance. So if anybody has any questions, we're talking about reincarnation, but you can call us on anything. You can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. All right. So we're talking about reincarnation. And I think, you know, the last point you were making about, you know, a lot of people, I've known people anyway, that say they want to go back home. And, you know, there's that piece of us that, you know, that we're craving this home that we think is outside of ourselves, that we think is, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, ultimately, we're in this for the long haul. Like, it's not like if we can only become enlightened in this lifetime, then, you know, we won't have to come back. I mean, we're always growing.
Well, indeed, it is a continuous process, you see. And many people...
Source is growing, so we must be.
Well, it grows with you, and you grow with it.
Right.
You see, it is always in a state of change and becoming. And it is never complete in the larger picture, because there is always the transformation of energy from one to another. And we have had people ask us over the years about the Big Bang Theory and the end of the universe. We respectfully replied that there is no beginning and there is no end. Alpha is Omega. You see? And understanding this in the larger picture, if everything occurs in the same moment, that is the Big Bang right there, you see? The moment that you are alive, thinking, and perceiving. You see? So when it comes to the individual who is experiencing their life and they are saying, I would like to be home, it's very difficult to understand the fact, or for them to understand the fact, that they are already home. Not only are they home, they are home itself. You see?
Right.
As we say, 99% of what you believe and what you perceive is between your ears. And that is the whole thing about life. It is all about perception. By having the past life experience, one not only experiences past lives, one experiences a totally different perception and view of the world that came from that past existence. Women go into past lives and experience a life as a man and understand suddenly a lot more about men than they ever did before because they were in that body and mindset in that lifetime, and vice versa for men. It is important to understand as to the different life types that one can have. One can have a life from being divinely heterosexual to being divinely homosexual. These are all not only legitimate but necessary reflections of the human experience. And one does not have a life that is exclusive to one type of existence from life to life. The consciousness seeks and needs to have these different experiences in order to continue to develop and grow. It is the same in all aspects of life, whether you see it on the physical plane, on the spiritual plane, or the emotional plane. All of these are, in essence, only in existence when they are active and in motion. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this comes through this understanding that life before and life after is connected. Many people talk about past lives, but there is also aspects that people can look into regarding future lives. A future life progression is as easy to do as a past life regression. It's just a matter of moving forward instead of backward on your timeline. But in this way here, it is important to note that it is not that you have to, once you know this information, give up on who you are here or just go along for the ride, because you have much to do once you understand this information from a subjective perspective, you see? So this is what each individual is here to discover in their own way. Those who are drawn to this type of understanding and wish to have this type of experience will indeed transform and alter their perspective in life, always for the better. It does not diminish you. It only enables you to become more of who you already are. And these type of experiences are, in actual fact, when done and discovered how to do this through usually the art of hypnosis, sometimes it is spontaneous. There be of a writer, refer of Helen Wamba, writing a book referred to of Between Lives, or Life Between Life, you see? And she speaks of not only the life experience, but what occurs between lives for the soul entering and coming from the physical. This is always what could be considered to be an ongoing process, one of constant growth, not just of consciousness, but of knowingness, of experience, and of truly creating divine love and peace through this. It is as if you learn through the experiences that occur in a lifetime how to combine all of your emotions back together again to experience divine love once more. And this is the goal in one life to another. And the more that one moves towards this, and you can achieve this through doing past life regressions, through focusing on different meditations, through practicing different forms of arts, whether it be music or writing or painting or dance or any of the other beautiful expressions of human consciousness. Each time one engages in a truly creative aspect of life, one steps into divine consciousness and begins to have this experience again of purpose in life. For the purpose in life, as we have always said, to come onto this plane is first of all to have an emotional experience. That doesn't mean to say to hold on to an emotional experience. It simply means to have them, observe them, and learn from them. Not hold on to them and cause yourself to become burned by them. And the second thing to do is to make choices. These two things are divine. These are the two things you were here to do. The choice you make, first of all, is to decide how you're going to feel in any given moment. When one begins to understand the nature of this, it becomes easier for the individual to begin to take charge of their emotional bodies and begin to move forward and grow beyond just the emotional melange or melange that many people experience during their younger years. So once past that, it gives the individual an opportunity to step into a greater consciousness and begin to get in touch with the higher self, which then provides information on growth and knowledge for that individual within their own life. The more one becomes cognate of past lives and the opportunity that it comes through of, to them by knowing about them, the more they become whole for themselves to live the life they choose to live. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Or as we would see it.
Right. I'm not quite sure where to go from here. Past life. So, I mean, reincarnation is really... I mean, ultimately, it is about our own growth, and everything that happens is for us to evolve towards divine love.
And to reconnect with your higher self, with knowledge. You see, if all spirit comes from divine love, and everything comes from divine love in that sense, which is what the universe is about. You say, what is divine love? It is about attraction. It is about love attracts things. It holds them together. It creates a sense of creation and expansion, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, its natural desire in this sense universally is to draw, first of all, physical things together inside of its own creation to then create a physical universe as you would know it. What makes molecules stick together? What makes atoms create molecules? What makes these things create higher forms of life, such as humans? Well, ultimately, what does this come from? This comes from these divine love entering into the physical universe and drawing things together to create consciousness in this way, you see? And in doing this, it is creating this consciousness. It puts within itself here the opportunity to have full disclosure of who the individual is and then begins to develop an emotional continuity that is above just beyond divine love. To exist solely within love does not give any consciousness an opportunity to experience outside of that. Therefore, when one comes onto the physical plane, one has the full gamut of emotions that one develops throughout a lifetime of experience, as we said earlier. As a result of this here, one has a full life, and the soul then has an opportunity to grow, to understand that these things come from divine love, and when combined and balanced in the proper way, recreate divine love. It is like all colors in the spectrum when they come together creates white light again, which is where they come from in the first place. But it is that experience, that transformation, that creates this raising of consciousness and therefore the understanding of individuation of souls. This is not to say all souls become one. Souls are individual and come onto a plane to have specific experiences, as we said earlier. So throughout a lifetime, the higher purpose, of course, is to reconstitute themselves into expressing divine love on the physical plane.
Right. All right, we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. Thank you, Willis. I think we'll bring David back when... Okay. All right, so you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Seeking guidance in areas of love, career, and family, Kimmy Rose and Friends provides access to gifted psychics and is just a call away at 1-888-626-7386. Visit KimmyRose.com. That's Kimmy with an I-E. And click on the link to Kimmy Rose and Friends under Kimmy's picture on the right. Choose your advisor and click on their link below. If they're not immediately available, schedule an appointment with them. Kimmy Rose and Friends, connecting you with psychic advisors, Kimmy Trust.
Voice Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. If you want more information on David, you can go to his website, askthewillows.com. You can find out about David. You can find out about the Willows, which is really his soul group that you connect yeah. with. So we've been talking about some interesting topics. I thought maybe we would explore the future lives aspect and maybe not so much. Well, I don't know. When we look at future lives, are we just looking at our own timeline in the future, or are we also looking at different lives as well?
Well, let's face it. You know, we exist on two levels. You know, we exist on the eternal, you know, divine one conscious level, one moment level, and we exist on the physical level, which we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. We can't ignore this at all here, because this is the one that seems to be holding us here to have these thoughts, right? But no matter what time we exist within, when our consciousness exists within, we are aware of the physical surroundings around us. Now, I have done a couple of future life progressions with people. People don't seem to want to do that as much as they want to, you know, see where they've been rather than where they might be going, you know.
Right.
But it's very interesting. Of the three or four people that I've had done this over the years, they all go to a specific time. And around the year 3000, it's about 1,000 years from now, and the world is not the way it is now.
Right.
The world is there's certain what they call hot spots in the world, including in where we now consider to be Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Middle East. There, people don't go there because it's like still there was some type of a I guess I had the nuclear war of some sort. Something happened there, and that whole area was just destroyed. The rest of the world, while they have technology, lives in small communities, is very much almost like an ideal society that we would imagine today. People live in small communities. They walk a lot of places. When they do move around, they use they use devices which people say, and we don't know how they operate, but they're using some type of electromagnetic energy that doesn't connect with any fossil fuel use or anything else of that nature. Mm. So there's high technology, but a very low technological way of living, where people have kind of gone back to the earth. There's large green areas. There's areas of the world that are just basically we're allowed to go back to the natural state. And the population, in all cases, always seems to be less than 2 billion.
Right.
So whatever's going to be happening in that future time between now and then, and I'm not saying it's going to happen next week, because I don't think it is very interesting. And I think if you do a little bit of research into other people who've done future progressions, they put themselves to a similar place. But the interesting thing is that they all say it's an incredibly peaceful and an incredibly joyful feeling that they come through in this lifetime.
Right.
So I think that's quite fascinating, you know, that future projection in that way. And it gives us an understanding that we are in part of a large cycle. You know, when we look back on time, you know, we talk about ancient Egypt as if it just happened. But they were around for like 3,000 years. And they had many, not only different dynasties, they had many different civilizations within that Egyptian existence. They all weren't living in pyramids and walking around, you know, with slaves and that sort of thing. There were different times. I believe Khufu even went and brought in a monotheistic religion for his reign, you know, which a lot of people had problems with and created a lot of dissension in their society at that time. Same with Rome. Rome lasted well over 1,000 years, and within that time, many different societies were created and fell again. And I think that's where we're at in our world today. And I think looking at the larger picture of our existences and civilizations, every major civilization that ever existed fell in one way or another. Atlantis apparently fell beneath the waves. We've discussed Atlantis before. And my understanding about Atlantis was that it really never fell apart. It was when the Earth itself fractured and divided up from one single
continent
into the continents as we know them today. And it's believed that, that one of the main reasons for that was because people were doing back in that time exactly what we're doing today. Going into the bedrock and doing, what are they called, fracking? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, blowing up pieces of the bedrock and allowing methane gas to come out of it, and which is destroying our water tables. It's making people very sick, and it really isn't doing a lot of good for us in general. You know, there's lots of other ways we can think of getting, you know, gas out of the atmosphere, and that's what not only my sources have said, but the sources of people who go back to, well over 150 years to the guy named James Churchwood, who wrote about Moo. And what happened then? Which is exactly the same thing. They took all of the resources out of the planet or out of the island, and it just started fracturing. They had huge earthquakes, huge, which is, you know, we're not too far from doing that kind of thing ourselves. And in fact, areas where they're fracking right now, in around the world, they're starting to have earthquakes that they never had before. And of course, it only makes sense when you pulverize, you know, part of the bedrock. What's going to be there? Pebbles instead of solid rock. So what happens? They don't have the same way to push against each other, and as a result, they just start collapsing, and land and rock and everything else starts moving because of the usual movement of the Earth. And, well, anyway, I'm not a geophysicist, but I'm sure that many of them could fill us in on the fine details of these kind of things. But it's very interesting. So the future as we would know it, it doesn't mean that the society we live in today is going to be forever. Mm-hmm. It means the society we live in today is here for now. In our divine moment of life, everything seems like it's going to last forever. But if we look back even over our little short lives, things that we went through that seemed were going to be forever were permanent, weren't. It was something we were going through, okay? Not something we were stuck in. And that's the difference. And I think it's the same if we take the same attitude towards life itself and our society and our different nations and that sort of thing. I mean, looking back, you know, Great Britain, rural Britannia, how long were they big? 200-300 years. Then there was the Spanish Empire who went into South America and tried to take that area. And that fell apart. And then there was about that. But the fact is each major civilization has fallen, each major power has fallen, and you know, frankly, what we're looking at today, both in North America and in Europe, is financial collapse, you know, which everybody talks about, and seems to be becoming more and more imminent, you know, as we look at it. What'll happen if that happens? Well, certainly the superstructure and the infrastructure of our existing, you know, systems are going to be challenged, to say the least. Mm. You know, so that's I think that's the next big challenge we have regarding that.
Yes, but since the show is almost over, maybe leave us with a message of hope.
Well, the message of hope is that each one of us has an opportunity to develop our own selves in our own way through very specific ways of viewing ourselves with love and allowing ourselves to connect with our own core selves. And the more that we do that, the more we want to give to people and not take. And I think that's what, you know, what a lot of our problems have been in our societies over the years. People who want to take rather than give. And if we choose to give and we choose to love and we choose to be kind and generous with each other, it makes a huge shift and change, which is why I said in those future lives, the people report back, those are the kind of lives they were living, because we figured it out at some point. Between then and now, perhaps, that's the best way to live, is to love each other, to go back to some of the basic beliefs of Christianity and Judaism and Islam, where people were divine and living in a state of love and in great integration, rather than
all right
what we've done to ourselves, it seems.
You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. If you want to connect with David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. Say you're a Sky listener. I'm sure he'll give you a discount. And
you bet.
All right. So you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.